It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany, UK, Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! And here we go. We are off and running for this 10th day of January 2019. Winter has finally arrived here in the hills and hollers of almost level West by Coal Trump Virginia-stan. How do I know? Because, well, I neglected to come back here and put on a can of propane. And as a consequence, it was in the 30s back here. Hence the delay in the broadcast. We put the little space heater on and let it do its thing until we got it up to a tolerable 52 degrees here in the studio. And I can bear that. Just bundle up, big sweater, and we'll be fine. But damn, it was brisk back here. Yes, brisk indeed. But we're here. Hallelujah, glory. No, wrong day. And hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. Headon.live is where we live, and that is where you go if you'd like to click on chat room and jump in and be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that happens during the 3 hours in which this program is live Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 p.m. If you do pick out that screen name and password, you'll be greeted by the likes of Anatole and Otto and Roger and Scott and Squeaky and the Urban Prospector and Warrior Witch and more to come, most likely during the course of the program. You'll also be capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a spacing guild master and a bit of a show-off from time to time, has folded space two ways to become both Sparky and Man Cave at the same time this evening. Capably assisted by pinch-hit midweek utility chat room moderator and all-around great guy, Steve from Georgia Stan. Okay? So, I guess there won't be any more naked radio for a while. This is about as brutal, this is about as ugly as it's gotten thus far this winter. Getting some snow flurries. It's about 23 degrees Fahrenheit outside. We'll probably be seeing snow and freezing rain and crappiness for the next 3 or 4 days. But just because, and we know that, for instance, last year was the hottest year on record. Don't tell the Republicans, but climate change is not just a Chinese hoax. And some of that sort of reflected in the fact that, let's see, tomorrow is the 11th. By the 18th of January, we'll be back north of 40 degrees for the high and the low, in the low 30s. So, you know, not that you need this for a weather broadcast, but that's kind of out of character for this neck of the woods at this time of the year. Of course, with the beginning of the program, we have thanks to send out, thanks to our subscribers, partial sponsors of the program. Remember, when you kick in for a $10 subscription, well, by Jove, what you're parting with is something a little bit more than 15 cents for every hour of program during any given month. And not quite 50 cents for an entire 3-hour program. And they're just, Hell, you can't even get a pick three lottery number for under 50 cents. So, at least not around here. So it works out to really be quite a little bargain, the horn is. And remember, there is a challenge, a promise, an offer on the table, courtesy of our buddy Dave in Talibandiana. If we can get a brand new subscriber by the end of the evening, one $10 a month subscriber, Dave from Talibandiana is going to kick in $10 and double your first month subscription. Okay, so that's kind of cool. And that offer is open until the end of the program. Now, where are we fundraising wise? North of $700 in bills to pay this week, and trying to get to where we can pay them both and keep the network program on the air. I'm sorry it's like this, but it is. And so our fundraising goal this evening is $565. But we have a chance to take a big bite out of that, because Chris in Germany has put a $100 challenge on the table, and this is a fun challenge, because what are we calling it? I'm just checking here. This evening, courtesy of Chris in Germany, we have the $100 Impeach the Motherfucker Challenge. And so that is on the table. Your 10 becomes 20, your 20 becomes 40, your 50 becomes 100, up to $100. And if we could do that, it would take our fundraising goal down to only $365 and knock out a full day's worth of fundraising that we haven't quite caught up with yet. We're at about 2.5 days of fundraising through the fourth day of this week that we're down. So Chris in Germany's $100 Impeach the Motherfucker Challenge is on the table. Please don't let it go by. 10 at 10, 5 at 20, however we do it, we need to not let challenges like this go by, because it's a great way for you to double your contribution, and it's a great way for us to go on being a going concern here as far as broadcasting is concerned. Okay. We have thanks, like I said, to send out to our subscribers, partial sponsors of the program. Thank you, Daniel. And thanks to Don. Don with two N's. Thank you, Don. And thanks to Judy. Those are our three subscribers for this, the 10th day of the month. Thank you very much indeed. And maybe by the end of the program, there will be a fourth subscriber who gets their first month's subscription doubled. So it could happen. It could happen. This is, of course, Thorn in the Side Thursday. And that means that there will be stories, and God knows there are, that just kind of make you go, ouch! With the overall right-wing madness of it all. Clatter, 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 he said. And just what's that? Scott in San Diego says, Burr, we got to get you out here to San Diego, Bob. I'll refrain from saying exactly what the weather here is today, but suffice to say, it's not colder than the warlock's bollocks. No naked radio for you, or there'll be definitely shrinkage. Wow, 24 minutes and off into the gutter already. It happens, yeah. Of course, and you wonder, do they ever think about this shit? Julius Geezer, in a desperate attempt to point out how dangerous the southern border of the United States is, went to the southern border of the United States today, where there was, curiously, no danger. Yeah, I know. Not his strong suit, that whole thinking thing, right? Yeah. But yeah, he did, and made some promises. I don't know if they'd qualify as campaign promises, but they were promises. They sort of hearkened back to his inaugural address and his American Carnage statement and his declaration that we all bleed. Yeah, I do. I still remember. I do. Mm-hmm. But at the southern border today, there he was. Oh, yes. Demanding that that his stupid, ignorant wall be built. Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, now sporting a beard, which just makes him even creepier, because he looks a little like Saddam Hussein now. Yeah, oh well, he was there, as was John Cornhole, whom I sincerely hope Beto O'Rourke will choose to challenge in 2020. But standing there using some Border Patrol members who, remember, are working for free right now and somehow managed to not upbraid Julius Geezer for that fact, using them for props, some of them standing around him grinning like foxes eating shit out of wire brushes. Julius Geezer made the following declaration.
Look, this is common sense. They need a barrier. They need a wall. If you don't have it, it's going to be nothing but hard work and grueling problems. And by the way, and death, a lot of death. I want to thank you.
Jesus, he's like a macabre version of Rain Man. Death, definitely death, definitely going to be death. Slow death on the Rio Grande. Death, death. Of course, this is not my underwear. My underwear comes from Kmart. You know, for being so damn dangerous, the most curious thing about that is that Texas's two senators, John Cornhole and the Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, they weren't wearing body armor, no bulletproof vests, no helmets, no face shields, no exoskeletons. They didn't stay there in the armored vehicle. I mean, hell, John Cornhole's just standing there in a blue windowpane plaid shirt and a navy blue jacket on over top of it, and couldn't have a care in the world.
Death. A lot of death. American carnage.
And it put me in mind of something that our buddy Reverbo the Human Boy sent along. Reverbo pointed out earlier in the day, all of Trump's other campaign promises turned out to be bogus, and all he has left is the wall, and does anyone really want it except him? He's in a tight spot. Couldn't you just, and this is the, oh my God, that makes way too much sense part. Couldn't you just buy 500 more Jeeps and hire 1,000 more guys? Wouldn't that address the problem, assuming there even is one? The only fixed fortification I think that was ever effective was the Berlin Wall, and it wasn't that effective. I mean, I guess Hadrian's Wall sort of worked, because hordes of Picts didn't come roaring across, but that didn't stop the Roman Empire from collapsing. And once it was abandoned, I mean, you can go and visit it. I'd love to see Hadrian's Wall. Because it's a monument to the fact that, well, walls don't work. But that's a thought. 500 new Jeeps are, maybe if we want reliability, we'd go with Toyota Land Cruisers, but... And 1,000 new Border Patrol. And you know what? The Democrats would probably go, yeah, okay, we can do that. But no, he's got to have it. And by the way, what's that? Cheryl in PA. Cheryl here laughing, saying, shut up, Scott.
We who are bouncing between freezing the tits off a witch and mud season do not want to hear about how beautiful it is in California. So, please make a note of that, Scott. Yeah. But we got a lesson as well today in medievalism. Because he declared, Julius Geezer did, that the wheel, they say the wall is medieval, well, so is the wheel. Buddy, there's nothing medieval about a modern wheel. But there's plenty medieval about a modern wall. And if you ever wanted proof that whatever he got in that vaunted education at the University of Pennsylvania, exposure to the arts, the liberal arts, the humanities, wasn't one of those things. No. Because it's kind of hard to get through any course in American literature without running across this. Something there is that doesn't love a wall, that sends the frozen ground swell under it and spills the upper boulders in the sun and makes gaps even two can pass abreast. The work of hunters is another thing. I have come after them and made repair where they have left not one stone on a stone, but they would have the rabbit out of hiding to please the yelping dogs. The gaps, I mean. No one has seen them or made or heard them made, but it's spring mending time. We find them there. I let my neighbor know beyond the hill, and on a day we meet to walk the line and set the wall between us once again. We keep the wall between us as we go, to each the boulders that have fallen to each. And some are loaves, and some so nearly balls, we have to use a spell to make them balance. Stay where you are until our backs are turned. We wear our fingers rough with handling them. Oh, just another kind of outdoor game, on one on a side. It comes to a little more. There, where it is, we do not need the wall. He's all pine and I'm all apple orchard. My apple trees will never get across and eat the cones under his pines. I tell him he only says, good fences make good neighbors. Spring is the mischief in me, and I wonder if I could put a notion in his head. Why do they make good neighbors? Isn't it where there are cows? But here there are no cows. Before I built a wall, I'd ask to know what I was walling in or walling out, and to whom I was like to give offense. Something there is that doesn't love a wall, that wants it down. I could say elves to him, but it's not elves exactly, and I'd rather he said it for himself. I see him there, bringing a stone grasped firmly by the top in each hand like an old stone savage armed. He moves in darkness, as it seems to me, not of woods only, and the shade of trees. He will not go behind his father's saying, and he likes having thought of it so well, he says again, good fences make good neighbors. You can spend a lot of time sorting that poem out. Donald Trump never did. No. But there's a lot of truth in it. Walls don't want to stand. They get subducted. They fall from the top. They get gappy. And in the case of one of the prototype walls built of steel,
steel slats,
You can just go to Depot de Casa there a few miles from the border and buy a saw and saw right through it. Hacksaw takes it down, no problem whatsoever. Mm-hmm. It's fact. What's that, Flavio? Flavio says, build the border roof. Every house has a roof. No border fence without a border roof. Support the border roof. Oh, I know. Go tell the maggots, stranger passing by. Yeah. God, the stupid it hurts us. Breathtaking stupid. But that's a great line. That one should, before I built a wall, I'd ask to know what I was walling in or walling out, and to whom I was like to give offense. Clever of Robert Frost to use offense in a description of a wall. But of course, Donald Trump has never read Robert Frost. Hell, Donald Trump has never read Dr. Seuss. So, there you go. What's that, Ron and Raleigh? Cruz with a beard? Is this the Ted Cruz from the Mirror Universe? Obligatory Star Trek reference. Sometimes I feel we're in a Mirror Universe. No, sadly it's not, because he's still the same old shitty Ted Cruz that he is in this universe. It's just his attempt at a Saddam Hussein beard, because it's like dark and then it's like got the gray skunk stripes right there by the chin, and you just know that Heidi and the girls are crazy about it.
Mommy, why does Daddy look like a terrorist now?
Well, honey, he's just channeling the poison that lives in his soul. That's all.
I don't have to hug him, do I?
No, baby, no, you don't. Mm-hmm. With the subject line, the effing wall, Scott in San Diego says, I'm so sick of hearing the demented circus peanut prattling on about his stupid wall. The irony is thick. All through the 2016 presidential campaign, Trump sold himself as a great deal maker and a skilled negotiator. There hasn't been much evidence of this nearly 2 years in. He claimed that the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, will be repealed and replaced. It's still in effect. Meanwhile, he can't seem to get it up the wall, I mean. Trying to push us a little further down the rails into the gutter, Scott. And what the wall will be made of, if when it's ever built, keeps changing. He's run the proverbial gamut. Reinforced concrete, slatted steel fencing, a beaded curtain, uncooked lasagna noodles. It's becoming increasingly obvious that Trump is no dealmaker and he's no negotiator. Here's what professional negotiators say about how the game is effectively played. The more emotionally attached we become to an outcome, the harder we try to get our way. Pretty soon we begin to lose our perspective. When you start negotiating, remind yourself that you want this agreement to work satisfactorily for everyone involved. If you take a position that says either this goes my way or it's not going, you could end up very sorry. One needn't be a psychic to see where Trump's heading. He's on an express train to very sorry and not happy. Nah, he can't be sorry. That's the one place I differ with you, Scott, because you see, Julius Geezer is lacking several elements of fundamental, basic, essential humanity. And one of those is the ability to feel things that human beings feel. That's what marks him out as a sociopath. Because he is. Everything for him is just a charade. It is it's a veneer. It's a thing that he puts on. And so it makes trying to come to an agreement with him nearly impossible. And so the question arises, the paychecks start not going out tomorrow. And as of Sunday, this will have become the longest shutdown in American government history. And negative effects start following in its wake in fairly short order. Things like a downgrading of our bond status, which will create significant economic ripples. And then there's the food inspection stuff. We talked about that a little bit last night. And that's not that, well, yeah. And then there's the Coast Guard. And you know, their advice to furloughed workers of why don't y'all have some bake sales and yard sales and take up babysitting while your job is being held hostage by a 72-year-old pumpkin-colored man baby. What's that, Jack? Jack in Shreveport. Subject line, Cruise Beard. I wonder what the maximum booger capacity of the new beard... But you still get a cowbell for that because it's actually kind of funny. I don't know. It hasn't quite gotten to the point where he could squeeze a week's worth of soup out of it or anything, but... If he's working John Britovo's gimmick, John Britovo's going to be pissed. What? Raffaellito's not going to shave his beard until Nancy Pelosi isn't speaker anymore? I don't know. I just don't know. As far as sawing through the bars is concerned, James in Illinois advises us, a backpack torch would be a lot faster and much less work. Take it from a union iron worker. True too. Tracy reminds us, don't forget how Joshua fit the Battle of Jericho and that wall came tumbling down. Walls don't work. Yes, the complete Joshua fit the Battle of Jericho. Joshua fit the Battle of Jericho, and the walls done come tumbling down. All we need now is a few people with some ram's horns and what is that called, the shofar? Yeah. Oh, and this, too, courtesy of our buddy Tony in Texas. But Bob, the caravan hordes were in California, not Harlingen, Texas. Just saying. Oh, yeah. Bone spurs, indeed. Sheesh. Yeah, Flavio says, shutdowns, shootouts. Along with all those consequences, I haven't heard about the mass shootings to come. That, too, is a consequence. Never mind the divorces. So, it seems to be that the conventional wisdom is that, yes... he will eventually declare a national emergency, and the shit will hit the fan. But it's what happens after that becomes more and more interesting. On the other hand... A bill came to the House floor today, H.R. 265, and H.R. 265 was designed to restore funding for agriculture, rural development, food stamps, and the Food and Drug Administration. Yep. And... That was brought up because the Democratic House is trying to do its damn job, and so they passed a bill today that would reopen little bitty bits of the government, things like inspecting food, rural development. The bill passed. 243-183. There are 193 Republicans in the House, and only 10 of them joined the Democrats in trying to reopen the government. The bill passed. It will go to the Senate. And, of course, chinless Mitch McConnell will not allow it to even be considered. But what of those 183 Republicans who said no? They'd also passed a bill. All 232 House Democrats said aye. 12 Republicans joined them in saying aye. And H.R. 267 passed. And that would have reopened the Department of Housing and Urban Development and the Department of Transportation, as well as agencies related to it. It took some courage to defect from the House Republican caucus to vote for that. And it turns out that having 12 House defections marked the single largest number yet of Republicans opting to vote against Julius Geiser and the weird white supremacists who run the Republican minority in the House. Unfortunately, the votes on the bill were not sufficient to be a veto-proof majority. We're not there yet. Another House bill got to the Senate today where there was a unanimous consent request. And, of course, Chinless Mitch, who hates America, decided to nix the unanimous consent request. He simply objected to it, and that was sufficient. He said it was an absolutely pointless show vote. Well, it's only a pointless show vote, Mitch, as long as you continue to, you know, despise America and continue to harm 800,000 loyal American citizens who work for the federal government. But do let's remember, these are small government Republicans, and the government's getting smaller by the fucking minute. H.R. 265 was designed to provide funding for the rest of the year for the Department of Agriculture, as well as the FDA. And the opposition was led by Representative Robert Adaholt of Alabama, of Talabama. And it didn't have nothing in it about importing chicken from China. And it didn't fully fund a rural broadband program. And it didn't have no wall in it. No, really, I wish I was kidding. Sadly, I'm not. And then there's around the world. I had a note from Ron and Raleigh before the program. Every damn day was the subject line. Well, here we go again. Today in Egypt, Mike Pompeo, you know, he finished first in his class at West Point. I told him we've already got one. Was shooting off his mouth about how the U.S. was a force for good in the Middle East, except for when the weak and timid Barack Obama was trying to reach out to Muslim countries. Now that we're helping the Saudis and the Israelis blow the fuck out of anyone they want to and facilitate the murder of a journalist, well, golly, we're back on the right track in the region. What we really need to do is continue to squeeze the Iranians until they say enough, and then Trump can get his war on. How much do you want to bet that there will not be one Israeli boot on the ground if that shit jumps off? A new year and we get closer to the apocalypse. Well, that's the way the passage of time works. I saw a story the other day that says in about 2 billion years... The Milky Way galaxy is liable to collide with some big-ass, scary Magellanic cloud cluster or some such. And it's going to be, well, it's going to be a fucking disaster. 2 billion years. Might want to get on that whole how to move away from Earth, how to move to a different galaxy kind of thing, but no, The Chinese are landing on the far side, the dark side of the moon, and we are arguing about a wall, the technology of which the Chinese mastered some several thousands of years ago, and put to work as they built the Great Wall of China, which the Mongol hordes then immediately poured through and deposed the current, the present monarchy with their own. Hence, China's working on things that land on the moon, not walls. You know, Geezer Disgustus has such a wonderful relationship with President Xi Jinping, you'd think that she might look at him and say, Donald, we did the wall thing. It didn't work out too well. But no. And here's the question. Yes, Mike Pompeo, you know, he graduated first in his class at West Point. Mike Pompeo is going to Saudi Arabia. And as I heard the news earlier today, one wonders what Mike Pompeo, he graduated first in his class at West Point, you know, one wonders what Mike Pompeo will say to the Saudis now that they're in the journalist murdering business. But the real question is, why is Mike Pompeo even rewarding the Saudis with a visit? A pariah state that slaughters journalists and tries to detain women who simply want to not live in that country anymore, because that was a thing. Well, we it used to be that we didn't make so nicey-nicey with them. But it doesn't much matter if the Saudis are out there barbecuing journalists on a spit. Mike Pompeo, he graduated first in his class at West Point, would probably get out the basting brush and lather on the barbecue sauce. Because that's just the kind of Christian Mike Pompeo is. Some Christian. Yeah, it's getting more and more interesting every day. And by interesting, I mean terrifying. And my heart goes out to everyone who's furloughed. And the big, you know, there were demonstrations today and protests today. And that's a beginning. Maybe it's time for the unions to dip into their funds and pay for a whole lot of buses to take a whole lot of federal workers to Washington, D.C. and just say, sorry, we're not leaving until the president comes to his senses and gives in, because he's already lost. See, that's the thing with Julius Geezer. He's already lost. He just doesn't know it. And the more that can be done to help him come to that realization, the better off we'll all be. Steve from Georgistan asks, what do you make of Rupert Murdoch being seen schlepping into Chinless Mitch's office this morning? Oh, I don't know. Maybe carrying, maybe secreting in a bag of Russian cash. Delivering marching orders from Chinless Mitch's boss, Vlad Putin. Remember, it was Chinless Mitch who refused to join Barack Obama in warning the country that the country was, in fact, under attack during our election cycle in 2016. Because Chinless Mitch values power and his party above all other things. A note coming in from Ron in the far frozen north. I would note that it is generally accepted wisdom amongst the pencil-necked geeks that drones will have enough lift capacity to carry an individual over the wall. That's a lot easier than carrying a damned 40-foot ladder through the desert. I suspect coyotes will be lined up to buy them. Oh, there's absolutely nothing that these godforsaken dumbass Republicans can do that's going to stop what's going on there. Because, again, you build a better lock, you get a better class of burglar. And it's turtles all the way down on that. But nonetheless, as the legislation that went through the House today did have some Republican support, we can at least mention them. Rodney Davis, Republican of Illinois. Brian Fitzpatrick, Republican of Pennsylvania. Jamie Herrera Butler, Republican of Washington. Will Hurd, Republican of Texas, who, by the way, does not want the wall. John Katko, Republican of New York. Adam Kinzinger, Republican of Illinois. Chris Smith, Republican of New Jersey. Elise Stefanik, Republican of New York. Fred Upton, Republican of Michigan. And Greg Walden, a Republican of Oregon. They all voted in favor of H.R. 265. So that maybe food inspections could resume. And I imagine that did actually take a little bit of courage. Oh, sorry. We apparently have some gimmick infringement here. Randy in PA said, but Bob is my gig. But there were only two butts, Randy. There were only two butts. Mm-hmm. That's how that works out. So here we are at the top of the hour. The thorns are downright. I forgot to wear my brush buster pants, and ow, yeah, they sticker a little bit. Probably have to let Agnes dig them out here at the end of the program. Let's take a break. One of the phone the stress line is open. 844-843-4676, 844 the horn. Or direct dial 304-640-2829. It's open. We'll go to the phone lines when we get when the Green News Report is done. It's on its way right now. Hi, Brad. Hi, Desi.
It's Thursday, January 10, 2019.
The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency accused Fiat Chrysler of installing secret software.
Fiat Chrysler to pay big fines for cheating on U.S. emissions tests. The three costliest weather disasters in the world last year all occurred in the United States. U.S. greenhouse gas emissions spiked in 2018. Plus,
politicians look the other way while big oil companies destroy this planet.
Democrats push ahead on climate action.
All of those stories and more straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
The more carbon-based fuels you can introduce in the developing world, Africa, South America, Asia, the cleaner the environment gets.
Oh, man, gotta hand it to Fox News. George Orwell must be proud. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, on Wednesday, Donald Trump promised to cut off FEMA wildfire relief money for the state of California after the worst and most deadly fire season on record out here, unless, he said, California gets their act together. Does he mean this? Is he actually going to cut off FEMA relief to California, where almost 100 people died last year in wildfires?
Well, it's not the first time that he's threatened to cut off FEMA funding for California, but it is unclear if this is official because, of course, FEMA officials did not comment because of the government shutdown.
Some 19,000 structures, that's homes, were burnt to the ground. And he's going to cut all of those families off, I guess.
Yep. It's the last thing that fire victims really needed to hear right now. Meanwhile, AP is reporting that automaker Fiat Chrysler has agreed to pay more than $650 million to the U.S. government to settle allegations that the company used illegal software to cheat on U.S. emissions tests, allowing more than 100,000 diesel vehicles to spew toxic pollution at 10 times beyond legal limits. The company will pay hundreds of millions in fines to the federal government and California state regulators and will reimburse vehicle owners, but did not admit any wrongdoing.
Huh, secret software from Fiat Chrysler, almost exactly what Volkswagen did. Go figure.
The three most costly natural disasters in the entire world in 2018 all occurred in the United States, and all were climate and weather related.
We're number one.
That's according to a new report by global reinsurer Munich Re. The costliest single disaster in 2018 was that camp fire in California that obliterated the town of Paradise, killing more than 80 people and causing overall damages of at least $16 billion.
Well, cut off their FEMA funds.
It was followed by Hurricane Michael in the Florida Panhandle and Hurricane Florence in North Carolina.
Any talk of cutting off FEMA funds to Florida and North Carolina?
Now that you mention it, no.
Weird.
Annual U.S. greenhouse gas emissions shot up in 2018 for the first time in nearly 10 years, increasing by nearly 4%. That's despite a near-record number of U.S. coal plants closing last year. Researchers with the Rhodium Group said the spike was driven primarily by surging emissions from factories, planes, and trucks, and higher heating oil consumption. But they also said it probably would not have been as high without the Trump administration's deregulation efforts. The increase comes as scientists warn the world needs to be aggressively cutting emissions to avoid catastrophic climate change.
So once again, we're going in the wrong direction.
Exactly. But Democrats are pushing to make climate change a central political issue. Likely presidential candidate Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren called out the oil industry in announcing she's formed a presidential exploratory committee. Washington State's Democratic Governor Jay Inslee, who has not formally announced a 2020 run, over the weekend told MSNBC's Joy Reid that climate change is a threat to the economy and national security, and he believes the best hope for America is to nominate a Democratic governor.
To govern is to choose, and we must choose a path to economic growth that will simultaneously defeat climate change.
Well, good luck with that.
Finally, Democratic Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez of New York, in a 60 Minutes interview, refused to back down from the goals articulated in a Green New Deal jobs plan that some have described as radical.
I think that it only has ever been radicals that have changed this country. Abraham Lincoln made the radical decision to sign the Emancipation Proclamation. Franklin Delano Roosevelt made the radical decision to embark on establishing programs like Social Security. That is radical.
Do you call yourself a radical?
Yeah, you know, if that's what radical means, call me a radical.
She's radical. For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Don't forget you can download our reports anytime via Stitcher, TuneIn, iTunes, or Google Play. Find us, follow us, and share us planet-wide on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
You can stand me up at the gates of
And we begin hour number two of this Thorn in the Side Thursday, the 10th of January, 2019. And remember, please, we have the Impeach the Motherfucker Challenge on the table this evening. $100, courtesy of Chris in Germany, will match the first $100 that come in. So far, we are at zero. But it would be awfully nice if we could knock down some of the $565 fundraising deficit that we have thus far this week, so that I can pay the bills that actually keep the program on the air. Hopefully that will happen. And, you know, the sooner the better. If we could, you know, again, that would knock down one day's fundraising, and that would send us into tomorrow, Friday on the front porch,
Well, let's just see if we can make any progress today. $100 challenge on the table, courtesy of Chris in Germany. And thank you very kindly for it, Chris. And yes, I can't help but admit I love the title of the challenge, Impeach the Motherfucker. I think we're going to be saying that quite a bit. And this is, you know, this is with full realization that I know that, you know, I know what I've said in the past about impeachment. But I'm beginning to wonder if he just lets this shutdown go, and if perhaps the ultimate goal of the evil pricks who more or less run his regime, because he doesn't, I can't help wondering if maybe they'd like to see it keep going, because the other everything else that's funded is only funded till September 30th, and so consequently, what if he's trying to get to September 30th with this shutdown and then shut down the rest of the government too, all the while maintaining a national emergency, which very well will tie him up in court for eons, one hopes, and which might very well in itself engender impeachment calls. Let's run back over to the phones and see what Todd down in South Carolina's got going on. Hey, Todd.
Hey, how you doing?
It's kind of cold, but I'll be okay.
Well, it's cold. I mean,
it's January. It's January. I should, but yeah, I've got my little bottle of propane going back here. We have gotten the temperature all the way to 56 degrees in here, so it's not as bad as it was.
And look, I'm not trying to sound hypercritical or What I'm trying to say is that the depth of talk that you give, right, the depth of things that you talk about, the way you talk about it, you know, it deserves more. And, you know, my tongue gets tied. You know, you intimidate me with your intelligence.
Oh, I don't try. I've never heard your tongue tied. I think we do pretty well.
Well, right now my tongue is tied. I just don't understand. I see. In other words, all right, let me put it like this. I was on YouTube for a couple of days. And they have some live channels on YouTube. And you can see YouTube. You can see Fox is everywhere. You can't get away from Fox. You can be in your car. You can be in a hoopty with nothing but an AM radio. You can get Fox. Fox is here. Fox is there. Fox is on the goddamn internet. It's on the YouTube. Free, everywhere. You're getting dated with all this bullshit news, bullshit information, bullshit propaganda. It's really what it is. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, that's what it is. So, you know, it's really pathetic. You know, and then Shepard Smith, when he has a moment of clarity, you know, he's chastised. Excuse me.
Well, even what's his name, Napolitano.
He finally got a moment of clarity. Excuse me. Go ahead.
No, that's exactly what I was getting at.
I was shocked. He's been an asshole for like, what, 10, how many years? A decade?
More than, probably. Probably since he emerged from the womb. Just guessing.
But, yeah, so, you know what? I can only imagine how you feel sometimes, because you know the type of product that you deliver. You know what I mean?
Well, I just recognize that this model has its limitations, and its limitations are that this program will continue as long as people support it, because I can't do it on my own. We have from time to time, but not now. That ship sailed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you know,
But that's not why you called.
No, that's not what I called. It's just that's the first thing that was on my mind, because when I heard the whole, you know, it's just terrible. It's ridiculous. It's, you know, this is exactly what we need at this time.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, and I mean, I want to keep this all going, and we do this, you know, we do this as best we can, but.
All right.
I mean, well, it would be beautiful if we could grow the size of the audience to where we just had those $410 a month subscribers and I shut up. And so, but you know, and people are doing that. I see where people put out on social media, you need to listen to the horn, you need to yada, 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 yada. And, it, you know, there are other programs that are on at this in this time slot that have a hell of a lot more infrastructural support behind it. So
okay,
I mean, we
okay,
are, you know, we're
okay,
we're
okay.
truly independent.
Okay, and you know, I guess maybe a lot of times it's into the weeds, maybe for people who aren't paying attention. But I listened to the podcast from last night, you know, and I oh my God, I never heard Casey Kasem talk like that.
Oh, it
shattered my whole. That shit fucked me up, man.
Oh man, I'm sorry.
I thought he was a wholesome individual.
Well, he was, but when you get you can only get screwed with so long before it all kind of comes undone.
He was being as nice as he could.
Well, I mean, if you're a jock, it really is tough. You know, you come out of everybody's working for the weekend, and you got to do a death dedication. It's awkward. I don't fault him for that little hissy that he had oh so many years ago. Not in the least.
I'm not faulting him. All I'm saying is that I've never seen him in that light, you know, metaphorically, you know. But, oh, my goodness. Wow. You know, he was always presented as this higher than thou. So, listen. If you ever say squeeze a week's worth of soup to a, you say, that shit fucked me. that's worth $1,000, man.
Well, thus far, Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America's beard's only good for about one lunch. But it was a beautiful thing, wasn't it?
That was great. That was gold, like golden. Golden. That was golden. Now, you know, some things are happening now. You know, big things are happening. And who is America going to be? You know, are we going to accept the fact that we have a bunch of reprobates, you know, like a statistical and statistically significant portion, you know, roughly 33% of this country, 33%, just fucked up. And it is not.
Well, no, that forward. I think that's what, if I understand correctly, you're asking, are we going to let this country be defined for what it is and what it shall be by 32% of this country who apparently walks on their knuckles and breathes through their fucking eyelids like gills from some creature from the first Men in Black movie.
Right.
The lizard people.
And the lizard people. And, you know, and because, like I said, I've been on YouTube, and, you know, they shoot these advertisements. And because this shit is all fucked up now, because Google has YouTube, you have to log in. It used to be you could just go to YouTube. Now you have to log. You don't have to, but most of this stuff now you have to log in, which is totally messed up from the beginning. So we know everything's all fucked up. So, but my point is that this commercial came on this afternoon, and it just upset me ungodly. And they were talking about, they had this little young lady on talking about the Electoral College. And I let it play. Usually I let it play long enough you know, told this, skip, and I'm out of there. So I let it play. So I said, okay, I'm going to let this thing speak out. You know, I'll see what she has to say. Not once did she mention that the Electoral College was really an appeasement to Southern slave owners because, you know, people are people. Regardless, they, you know, they might be slaves, but they're people. And that was a large part of why we are where we are. They didn't mention that at all. All they talked about was like, well, if these cities and the coast, and it was presented, and I watched it. Now, remember, you know, I used to design survey instruments, you know, so I kind of know how to do this shit, a little bit. And we're in trouble. And then, I love history. So there's all these history videos now on YouTube, and they're bullshit. It's like revisionist history. We're in trouble. We're in big fucking trouble. This is just what we're seeing now. This is nothing. I mean, the legal stuff with our country and our country being subverted, that's done. That's done. The institutions, come on. Look. I'm talking two separate arguments now. So let me stop. I don't want to be like, let me stop. Let me go to the top of the iceberg.
Okay.
Now we see. All right, we'll go to the top of this. Because this is so deep now. Oh, it's so deep. You know, remember we were talking about all this stuff? Do you remember?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I do.
With the layering and finding out who lives where and the targeting. And now it's out there. So, I don't... So,
just work with it. You're getting there.
I'm working with it. I'm getting there. I'm just trying to. You see, the folks are never going to believe that they've been duped. They don't know what to do. Right? They're freaked out because it's everywhere. It's everywhere around them. I mean, the box is around. Everybody's boxed in who's been guilty. And it's really ugly. It could be so ugly they don't want us to see everything. You know? And
right.
Just like we were saying, it's so many Congress people that have been, that woman infiltrated the far right. She got the guns in the Bible, folks. And see, remember, that's what Obama knew that. That's what he was saying. See, he knew that, but that's what he was saying. That's all he could say. He told him, get rid of Flynn. And before that, he said, you know, these people are clinging to their guns and their Bible. See, this didn't just start.
And that was, but that turned out to be true.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Oh, well, I'm sorry. Maybe it's not what I'm saying. Please elaborate.
Well, no, Barack Obama took no amount of hell for saying that the mouth breathers and the knuckle walkers cling to their guns and their Bibles. And by cling to, what he was talking about is the fact that they're irrational about it. And they are. It's kind of like when Hillary said that half of Donald Trump's followers are decent people and the other half she puts in the basket of deplorables. Well, that turned out to be true, too.
Yep.
I mean, not true as a matter of opinion, but true as a statistical fact.
Here we go.
The numbers didn't lie, in other words.
No. And I have to say this, because this is important right now. People need to understand that stats can be easily manipulated. When you look at the graphs and charts and newspapers and whatnot, you have to look at the scale, because that's one of the first things you learn is, like, you can be dirty if you want, and you can make a lot of money. I remember somebody telling me that, one of my instructors. But if you want to do this thing right, this is how you have to do it. Like, this is the wrong way to do it, and this is the right way to do it.
Well, money, the ability to make scads of money is not necessarily a benchmark of whether or not one is intelligent.
The only thing the ability to make scads of money tells you is that somebody was really, really interested in making scads of money.
Well, exactly. I wasn't.
I mean, that's like, you know, having the world's largest ball of string does not say anything about your intelligence. It says that, in fact, you wanted to dedicate a significant portion of the finite time you had on this planet to putting together a fucking ball of string.
I knew the same thing. Early on, I was not chasing money. I knew that early on. And see, this is keep me focused. But a slight tangent. A lot of my friends went to business school. They don't take a lot of humanities. They don't know shit about like my degrees in sociology and psychology. And you know, I didn't have to take much.
Yeah, you definitely did not go to college to make money with those degrees.
No, and I knew that. That's okay. That's fine. You know, I wasn't worried about that. You know, how much money do you need to live? You don't need that much money. But, you know, it wasn't my, you know, it just turned me off. I don't know. It just turned me off. Anyway. But there's a medium somewhere, and that's where I was going with this. When people think of average, and then we talked about this before. See, people are hoodwinked. When you think average, every time somebody tells you the average person, don't listen to that. What they mean is really modal, right? In other words, when we hear average, it's like, what do most people have? And this is important because this is important how you interpret data. I'm a data person.
Yeah, there's average, median, mean. Yeah, I get lost in all of that because,
modal.
Of course, I don't cipher, at least not well.
Right, and it's... Right. I mean, I'm a non-cipherer, but that's easy. I mean, it's an easier way to cipher because it's like a puzzle. It makes sense.
Wait a minute.
Wait.
Hold on, Tom. That's for I'm a non-cipherer. That was just good. I mean, you earned that one.
I mean, I don't like that, but if it's construed in a way where I can turn it into a puzzle, it's no problem. And the way I say, the reason I say that is because this is what I'm saying. It's like, I use this analogy, you know. Think about this. A factory town, let's say 1950, Deep South, factory town, right, a mill town. All right, most people live in a little shotgun house, might cost $7,000 maybe, right? Then you have a few mill managers, they might have a $30,000 house, maybe 10 of them. Then you have two or three family people who have, who knows, you know, $100,000 houses. He'd say, well, what is the average price of the house in your town? Oh, it's around $80,000 because it's skewed. You see, so average doesn't mean shit. That's not a very effective measure. You see, that's
right.
Not a good metric. So modal is better. It's like, what do most people live in? You know, But if you say modal, people look at, oh, modal, the hell are you at? You from Mars? You know, you can't talk like that. So
give Trump a chance.
That's what I'm saying. but you see, that's a good, quick analogy, see? So I guess it is. I don't know. Maybe it's not.
Just kind of moving over to a separate topic, Todd. What if I told you there was actual audio of Donald Trump telling the whole anybody who cared to listen that walls don't work? I mean, every utterance that comes out of the chlamydia Claudius's mouth has a prior statement that is its direct and polar opposite. And at some point in time, back around May 21st, 2004,
he does that shit every fucking day.
Well, it's because his brain's no fucking good. He's the grandson of a pimp and the son of a Klansman. What kind of brain do you expect him to have?
His shit is all fucked up between the spirochetes and his inherent fucked up shit.
And the fact that he's a speed freak. I mean, my heart would explode if I snorted a rail of Adderall, okay?
I don't even understand how he's still alive. I really don't. It's too much. I'm sorry, but go on. It's too much.
Well, I mean, it's you know. So it was May 21st, 2004, and some institution of some level of learning had invited him to come and give a commencement address. And so, you know, you give a commencement address, and you're supposed to be inspiring to the young scholars who are done matriculating. And so you say things to them to give them...
Not only that, they're going up in grades, aren't they?
Yeah, to give them inspiration to go out into the bold capitalist world. And here's what happened.
Never, ever give up. Don't give up. Don't allow it to happen. If there's a concrete wall in front of you, go through it, go over it, go around it, but get to the other side of that wall.
Go over it, go under it, go through it, go around it, but get to the other side of that wall. In other words, back in 2004, the Tangerine Tiberius knew that walls don't work. And again, we have to reiterate, the only reason we're having this discussion is because his very bad brain fixated on it when all it was a mnemonic, and I know you know what mnemonics are, all it was a mnemonic to try to keep him on topic on the issue of immigration when he was out there trying to inflame the racists and the bigots and the xenophobes, who are, of course, his deplorable base. And from there, we get to here. Because otherwise he was liable to start prattling and rambling and talking about God only knows what, you know, his mother gestating a turkey or something like that. And
holy cow.
It happened. Nobody, you know, you got to let it gestate like my mother would do a turkey. And that it was just a desperate attempt to keep him on topic. Wall. Talk about your wall so you can talk about how nasty the brown people are and the threat they pose to America. That's going to get you elected there, Donnie. And now this.
You know what? Since you brought up the wall thing, honest to God, because I dislike this topic only because I feel like I've not heard the rational side from each party. In other words, there's a right and wrong here. You know, on the right side, I mean, and I'm just, look, man, I'm good at putting my biases aside. I get a piece of paper and break down the facts. You know, that's what you have to do. So, first of all, the president said, oh, shut down. I'm on it. That's me. I own it. He said that. Okay.
Yeah, he did. Everybody heard him.
Everybody heard. And he said Mexico's going to pay for it.
Oh, and by the way, since you mentioned that, today it was, and since the speech on Tuesday night, it's all been, well, you know, we're going to get the money back through our fabulous, fabulous USMCA deal.
That's bullshit.
It is bullshit. But today he doubled down and said, it's not like I ever said Mexico was going to write us a check.
Oh.
Well, here's the problem. He did say Mexico would write us a check.
He did.
Because for everything he says, he has previously said something that diametrically contradicts it.
Because he's...
By the way, I got to give a cowbell to Lee in New York. Lee informs us, mnemonic. Trump thinks a mnemonic is a small musical instrument you blow into. Yeah, I know.
He was too cheap to pay for the...
Just like he thinks emoluments are those things that you rub on your Russian prostitutes to make them all slickety.
It's so sad.
So from his very own website... There's a segment called Pay for the Wall, which somehow or another they have managed to forget to take down.
And, was that shit I saw on TV?
Well, no, this is just a web. Pay for the Wall. The provision of the Patriot Act, Section 326, the Know Your Customer provision, compelling financial institutions to demand identity documents before opening accounts or conducting financial transactions, is a fundamental element of the outline below. That section authorized the executive branch to issue detailed regulations on the subject, yada, yada, yada. Then this. Now,
was
remember.
That, was that what Chris Hayes was playing around with? He had a document up in his
Maybe, I don't know. But remember, he said today, it's not like I ever said Mexico is going to write us a check. It's an easy decision, and again, this is from his website. It's an easy decision for Mexico. Make a one-time payment of $5 to $10 billion to ensure that $24 billion continues to flow into their country year after year.
See,
a one-time payment is writing a check.
So we're back. This is what I was trying to say. Why are you inflicting pain on low-paid people who serve our country? Everyone who works, city, state, municipal, federal, they all work for less than corporate wages because, you know, you get benefits and it's a steady job and you don't get discriminated against. And this is what he doesn't like. That's part of it. I'm just going to be honest. That's part of it. It's hard because you know, corporate, you might make a lot of money, but you're at the behest of, you walk in one day, you have no job. You know, it's all about, kiss ass. But this bullshit, this is crazy.
Because I'm a little ray of sunshine, it gets worse, Todd, because in the White House, they're fretting about figuring out a way to pay for it if he was to declare a national emergency. And they've come up with a plan.
Why are we having this? Wait a minute. We're not supposed to be having this discussion. Mexico, why are Americans,
we don't.
There's another dimension to this. Because this is exactly what our foes would like. This is another example of the disintegration of the institutions of our country. Do you understand? Our food is not getting fucking inspected. All kinds of shit is fucked up. How about the people in the food trucks? You know what? Come on, man. This is bullshit. Do you know how many people in food trucks, man? They make a good living. Those people work hard and they serve good food. All those people in the food trucks. You know, you've been to the food truck.
Right. They're parked outside government buildings and there's nobody in the government buildings and the people in the food trucks are going broke.
Going broke. That's what, man, this shit is fucking crazy. I didn't mean to cut you off, but this is bullshit. This is all about. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I want you to understand how bullshit it is.
Okay.
Because there's no way there's any justification for declaring a national emergency, but there's nothing really out there to prevent him from declaring a national emergency, even if there isn't one.
Exactly. Because we didn't think there would be some crazy.
Right. We didn't think that there was going to. Right. It's the law of unintended consequences.
That's one of their duties. One of the electoral college's duties is to say, you know what? Fine, you got the votes, and people like you, but you know what? You're not mentally healthy.
Yeah. But again, for all those people out there who get all misty about the 25th Amendment, if you can't get Mike Pence's signature, you ain't going nowhere. And by the way, all those grown-ups in the White House are gone now. But anyway, I want us to have at least a working definition of how bad it can get.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
The Army Corps of Engineers has about $13.9 billion laying around.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Could you repeat that, please?
The Army Corps of Engineers has about $13.9 billion laying around.
Just laying around.
Now, it's laying around because It was supposed to fund projects the Army Corps is building through to fiscal 2020. If he declares, he has been told by people in his regime, if he declares a state of emergency, that $13.9 billion is his to do with as he sees fit.
Well, that's the other thing I want to know about.
Well, hold on, just a second, because we need to understand what those $13.9 billion are for.
Mm-hmm.
Among other things...
You mean what they have to be spent on? Like, they have to go through this gate?
Well, right? No. Originally, some of that money was allocated for, say, repairing parts of Puerto Rico, which is part of the United States.
Oh, shit. Don't...
That was wrecked by Hurricane Maria.
Wait, why did you preface this by saying original?
Well, because that's originally what it was for. If he declares a state of emergency, it's his fence money. It's his ransom. There's 2.4 billion of that 13.9 that's supposed to go to flood prevention in the Yuba River Basin and the Folsom Dam. There's $2.5 billion marked for reconstruction, like I said, in Puerto Rico. And he can literally confiscate it all and put it into building his stupid fucking wall.
All right. There are a couple questions I have about this. Number one is about one of our members. I'm surprised that Scott has not said, I haven't heard him say anything. But, I mean, oh my God, I was there for 8 days. And I was in a poor neighborhood. I didn't even know it. But I was around the, you know, poor folk. But, because they don't look like poor folk out there, believe me. It ain't no Philly. So, anyway, that's common knowledge that there's tunnels. They have all these industries, like, right on the border. And there's tunnels. Every one of those warehouses has tunnels. You know, everybody knows that. So, I don't even know where they're coming from. I don't even know. It's in the paper every day getting that tunnel. I don't know why Scott hadn't said anything. Unless it's not happening anymore. You know, that's number one. But I'm just, I mean, that's just, I don't understand that. That's number one. But go ahead, man. Because this other stuff makes sense to me. I want to know who's getting these contracts. He can't be trusted. That's the thing. He's a fucking scoundrel. Everybody knows.
Well, what he's talking about now is using the military itself to do the construction.
Remember he hinted at that in the speech?
Some Pentagon types have told him that it would take about 18 months for the Army Corps to build 315 miles of border wall. 30-foot bollard-style wall with a feature designed to prevent climbing. I don't know what that feature is. Electrification? You know, what?
Who's getting paid? I don't trust him, man. Who's getting
paid? Cui bono. I don't think there's not some vig in it somewhere for him. He's a grifter and a grafter, and well, it's what he does. But the other thing, Todd, is that Darlene points out the manufactured border wall and partial government shutdown crises are also deflections from other things going on, and what's about to happen on the horizon, assuming Whitaker is slipping him info on the Russia investigation.
We already did.
Yeah, that would be hot tub time machine Whitaker, and the shutdown gave him a great excuse to give the sacred bird to attending Davos because he's a public embarrassment, and people wouldn't be, you know, the rich people probably would point and laugh and spit on the ground if he showed up in Davos, to the extent that rich people point and laugh and spit on the ground. Some of them are, you know, they just murmur lowly to each other and walk in the other direction, that sort of thing.
They have their own little, right, subdued body language or good news. Yes. Listen, that's the main thing I'm concerned about. And you said it, a bunch of us said it. like no. Why? What is this? Just like with Saudi, when he said, we are losing, we could lose, you know, all these contracts. No, it wasn't we. It's about you. You have some money in here because we know who you are. You're a leech. You're a sociopath. You know, you're on the far end of the spectrum. You're just disgusting. You do not care about anyone. See, anything that gets in his way, and it can be an inanimate object. It could be a brick. It could be anything. A person. It doesn't matter. If it doesn't meet his what he needs to do at the time. If it's not expedient for him, he doesn't want to have anything to do with it. You're in the way. You could be a, like I said, a brick, a person, a woman. Remember, you know, I'm looking back. Look, you know, his whole history is really public knowledge. And I hate to get back into this, but this is where people have to step up. This is bullshit. It ain't like we like Pence. But you know what this is going to come to? This is going to come to either he's going to be presented with so much evidence now with this shit we heard a few hours ago. Where he'll have to, they're going to present him privately with evidence that's going to make him resign, or he will hold on and he'll just, they'll have to drag his ass out. And those are his, that's what I see for this person. Yeah. Cause he's all fucked up, man.
He is fucking with the lives of 800,000 people, and some of them are not taking kindly to it.
And can you imagine? And the Secret Service, I mean, it's a whole lot of people. The food inspector, everybody. This is not funny. This is bullshit. And this, oh, I'm sorry. And you know what? Like maybe, I don't know, I was not looking at the clock. It would be 8 minutes ago. I don't understand why we don't hear this argument more often. He has money he has not spent. Money has been appropriated that they have not spent.
He could have already bought those 500. He could have already bought those 500 new Jeeps and hired 1,000 new Border Patrol agents, and just let them drive. You know, let them drive back and forth past each other in a constant line all the way from Arizona. And you know, hell, make them Teslas, and put charging stations along the border, and they're silent, and right, why not? Because he's got 1.6 billion laying around that hasn't been touched.
Well, that's what I'm. That, how come we don't hear that every time this subject comes up? I don't hear this every time, and I know that's a fact. So what's going on here? I'm not trying to be funny, man.
No. I know you're not. But the fact of the matter is, he's, nobody can keep up with him. You know, you come up with a talking point, and that was one of the talking points the day that he threw the first hissy, in public on Chuck and Nancy, and Nancy Pelosi simply said, "You got $1.6 billion you haven't even touched."
Mm-hmm.
And that was down the memory hole.
But that's collectively, that's our fault. Spend the money you have. And see, all right, I got two bumper stickers. We're just all dumbed down. I'm dumbed down. I don't know about you. You're not dumbed down.
No, I'm dumbed down. I'm dumbed down.
Okay. I'm just saying, like, spend the money you have and no American dollars for a Mexican wall. No American dollars for the Mexican wall.
Makes sense to
everybody
me.
Everybody can understand that.
Sure,
huh?
Sure. Makes perfect sense. On the other hand, figure this one out for me. I mean, I think I know what the answer is, Todd. So, earlier this week, Lindsey Graham, peeping out from under the fainting couch down at the old ancestral estate of Smoldering Chode, with a Darvon and a julep in his hand, said declaring a national emergency should be a last resort, and it is not the preferred route. Now, that was a few days ago, okay?
Yeah.
Not long at all. Like 2 days ago. Well, now, all of a sudden, Lindsey's out there today, and he said, it's time for President Trump to use emergency powers to fund the construction of a border wall barrier. I hope it works. I miss my John so much. He gave me a little bit of a spine, and it's all gone now. I said it should be the last resort, and now I'm just saying that we got to have a national emergency because I want Trump to be the dictator I know he can be.
What is going on with him?
That's your senator, man. I was hoping you could help.
He wants that job so badly. He wants,
I say the same thing about Chinless Mitch, too. And that is, somewhere in all of this, you will find the fingerprints of the National Ruble Association. Because, remember, they passed millions of dollars of illegal campaign money through the NRA during the 2016 cycle, and it all did not inure to the benefit of Donald J. Trump. Lindsey Graham has always been a dear friend of the NRA, and so has Mitch McConnell. In fact, Mitch McConnell, there was a photograph that came out from several years ago, because he's... his hair was much not what it is now, and he was young. But he's standing there grinning like a fox eating shit out of a wire brush right in front of a Confederate battle flag.
Well,
that's a surprise.
He has safety. So this is a real situation, because there are going to be some unhappy people. You know, this report is going to leak out. But as we said, like maybe, I don't know, we were talking about this, I don't know, a year ago, 6 months ago, there are a whole lot of folks that have got some beaks wet with that money. You see? And I think we talked about Deutsche Bank, but, you know, I think, remember, you know, now I'm just thinking about it. I said Deutsche Bank, but now that we know that this is a, which is all my facts here now, the Justice Department or whatever, who's investigating Mueller, had said it's a state-operated entity, a bank. So that's the Cypriot bank. But if you really want to launder money, and they're doing a whole lot of money, you got to go through two banks. So it's probably both Deutsche Bank and the Cypriot Bank. You know what I mean?
Because yeah.
Once you go through one, you get some shells, get one or two shell corporations, go through another one. You know, they're on it. They're on it. But, I mean, what is it going to take?
And that's the question of the age, isn't it?
I suppose it is. Well, look, man.
I mean, there are people who are saying that that if they were to pass, and maybe this is why Chinless Mitch won't let it happen. If they were to pass a bill to reopen the government, the House and the Senate, and then Trump vetoed it, there are now people out there saying that would be an impeachable offense, because it would be a failure to uphold the laws of the country and to faithfully execute and yada, yada, yada. That it would be exactly what the framers had in mind. Sooner or later, this all ends up in front of the Supreme Court. And already, in case you didn't know, In what passes for the war room, they are making plans to replace Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Oh God!
And go to the mattresses on it. Should she pass away?
God, I ain't gonna talk about that. But.
But that's just a, but we kind of need to, because what you do then is we remember that we have a laundry list of shit to do when we take back the Senate and the House. And one of those things will be to pass a bill that that changes the makeup of the Supreme Court from 9 justices to, say, 15.
We have to pack it. We have to.
And then you put, and then a Democrat president nominates all the brand new justices and makes sure that he or she nominates people no older than 40.
You know something, Bob? Now, listen, there's a good argument for that, because think about demographic changes would support that. You see? I mean, come on, it's been stodgy. Look how long it's been stodgy. I mean, fine, we have Sotomayor. Okay, fine. You know, two, one, blah, blah, blah. But the demographic changes are such that we have to have a different...
How cool would it be to have a gay justice that was, you know, we probably have had him before, but a justice who was out and gay? Or a trans justice?
You mean like a flaming one with a pink robe?
No, that doesn't have to be that. It's just a matter of have somebody who is out and gay. Just to make Clarence pubes on the Coke can Slappy Thomas's little head explode.
Whatever happened to the guy that got... when I was a young man, he was from New England.
Are you talking about Souter?
Souter. He was like, I don't want any part of this.
Yeah, he was like, nah, fuck this, I'm done.
Who has ever done that?
And he quit at a time when, Well, no, others. I mean, some people don't want to stay in the job till they're dead.
But I'm saying, no one ever talks about him. But it's like, why did he do that?
Because he grew weary of it.
So what's going on there that makes people weary?
Constant contention, constant degradation of the institution.
But look, man, I remember asking you probably last month, maybe. Because it pissed me the fuck off. And this was a decision 2 or 3 years ago. No, not 2 or 3, at least 3. It was probably a Monsanto decision where somebody seed migrated a Monsanto, some type of Monsanto seed migrated through a grain silo. And a farmer planted, and, you know, he didn't know.
Yeah,
he
no, right. And the farmer got crushed.
And he got crushed. And I asked her, I was like, well, did they consult a plant biologist? Because, maybe people forget biology. I mean, come on, you don't get to be a lawyer without having the biology. You got to understand, like, Mendel and a Punnett square. And you know, come on. How do you forget things like that? How can you forget that?
Well,
I mean, that's the simple stuff.
But it may not have been within the purview of the actual inquiry. The deck may have been stacked. Yeah. By the way, before we wrap up here, and I'm going to take some more calls. I got some good news to announce. And some thank yous to send out. Thank you very, very kindly. To Cynthia, who said, wish I could do more, but oh my, I'm looking at some big bills too. I know, I understand. Cynthia says, I know you know how it is, though, but I hope this helps you keep it lit. And yes, impeach the motherfucker. So, good. That took a $10 bite out of Chris's challenge. Then we got a note from Charlene in Rhode Island. That would be Charlene of the Sorority of Leans, Order of Rock, Reverse Oreo Cookie Society. Charlene saying, hi, Tracy. Here's another $25 for pushback against that pustular prick in our White House challenge. When met, I'll add another $25. So That 25 goes on Chris's challenge, which gets us down to, down to $70. If somebody matches that, that'll take us down to 45. Charlene will kick in another 25, and that will take us down to almost having wiped out Chris's challenge, and it will also go to Charlene's challenge. So thank you, Charlene, very, very kindly. And thank you to Cynthia. And hopefully here in the next hour or so, the rest of it will all get knocked down, and we will have a little bit less scarier thing to be dealing with tomorrow. And I will engage in a frenzy of bill paying. So that was good news. That was definitely good news. But I was going to mention one thing to you before we go, because we have a barbecue crisis here.
Oh, no.
Yeah, like I said the other night, I found the design flaw in the acorn. The ash pan has these spring-loaded clips that clip it onto the bottom and create a, not airtight, but close to airtight seal. But the ash pan itself has to hang on like a wire bracket, and it rusted through and broke. So now it's very difficult to get the ash pan to stay on the bottom of the thingamajig.
That's not good.
I'm bummed.
Maybe you can figure out a way. I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe some. I don't think you could weld it, because the. It's just like two thin pieces of steel around a foam core or something for that external. I don't know. We'll sort it out. I'll apply some hillbilly ingenuity to it and see what happens.
I can't visualize it right now, because the pot, the bottom part is weird, because it's like this little tiny. If I remember right.
Yeah, it's a pan with a dome shaped bottom, and there are two brackets that where clips clip it on, but then it's also got this this frame of its own with a disc that slides into the slot that's created by that wire bracket, and it's the wire.
I see what you're saying. Yeah. Oh, we're gonna have to have a temporary fix till I can think of something, but yeah.
Well, as soon as it's not too sloppy to get out on and lay down on the ground, I'll get under it and see exactly where that bracket attaches, and see if I can come up with some sort of a stopgap measure.
That is. Hey, Willow, and thanks for taking my call. I know I'm slurring a little bit. I had a roof out today.
Oh no.
Yeah, that's good. I'm great. I mean, all I got to do is sleep, so I'm good.
Cool, man. Well, I hope everything continues to work out in your favor.
I hope so. Well, look, yeah, man. This insanity. I'm just worried. The shutdown would align with what Putin would want. Also, all this stuff. It's just. Nuts, man. Just stop. Just stop. Fucking sorry. And I have Jesse Lee Peterson. Yeah, do it. Black people say do because they know better than you.
Oh, Jesse Lee. I've got some fresh Jesse Lee.
Because I'm telling you, I'm working on him. I'm going to drop some Jesse Lee on him.
Jesse Lee spends a lot of time worrying about the poor little fetuses. He's positively worked up about the fetuses. And today, he came up with a way to protect the rape fetuses.
You got it on tap?
I got it on tap. You got a hockey puck?
Oh shit!
Because you're gonna be heading for the yard and eating dirt and running rabbits. Let's do this.
So anyway, about my lady.
Okay, he's got a caller. He's got a gentleman caller on the line. A fellow by the name of Caleb. Caleb. Caleb's listening in on the Urban Families Radio Network. Caleb is.
That's a fine Bible name. Okay.
Has there ever been a black guy named Caleb?
Man, see, you gotta fuck with me like that. Go ahead.
No, I'm just asking.
I have never met a Negro named Caleb. No.
Okay, just checking.
All right, okay.
All right, so here's Caleb and Jesse Lee.
So anyway, about my lady, I was wondering, and I know what you say about this, having children and everything, but she has a child from rape.
From who?
And from rape, being raped.
Oh.
From rape? Who? Rape. Oh. God.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, the child is 8. We've been together since she was 3. And I was wondering, I mean, we got together when I was fallen, you know what I mean, in that fallen state.
Right.
And I was wondering if it's right for me to, if I do everything the right way and show her the right way to live without anger and all that other, you know, mess, would it be okay to marry her even though she has a child?
Absolutely no.
What? I thought these people believed in traditional family values, biblical marriage, and so forth. But it's not going to be okay to provide that little 3-year-old, that little 8-year-old girl a daddy. All right, so are we still on the same page, Todd?
Yes, man.
Okay.
Redemption?
Yeah, no, he can't marry her. One, Caleb, if you're calling a radio host to find out if you can get married, bub, you need a better class of friends. But we'll just leave that there.
No.
No.
I knew it. I need to say that.
No, do not marry a woman, and a woman should not marry a man who already have children. It's bad enough on kids when they don't have both parents. It's worse when a so-called step-parent steps in, and because the soul of that child, whether male or female, the soul yearns for the father, not a stepfather or stepmother. They want their natural father and natural mother, and especially their natural father. And so,
Soul Yearning with Jesse Lee Peterson.
If this woman is a decent woman at all, she was sacrificed for her child, not for herself, but for her child. And you're going to be in the way. And you did it in the fallen state, but at least you're waking up before you got married to her and just helped to destroy that child. So, no, don't.
Destroy the child. Dude.
Destroy the child. You do not want to destroy that child because you had to believe and dignify the Lord.
You have been working on your Jesse Lee, haven't you?
I told you, nigga.
Quit it. Oh. So it's the kid's fault. The child will be
That's
destroyed.
Crazy.
The child will be destroyed by having a permanent daddy.
That's so crazy.
Even if it's
so
Caleb.
Because...
But he ain't done. Jesse Lee ain't done, Todd.
Don't do it. Seek first the kingdom of God and his right way, and God will add a woman unto you. The right woman. This is not the right woman for you.
Because she's been raped.
Amazing. That's heartbreaking, but it is amazing.
Yeah. And you're going to be so grateful later as you move through life that you're finally doing the right thing. You're living. You have faith. And you are a son of God. You're what you say, and you live that way. You will not regret this. But if you marry her, you will regret it.
Damn. Yeah, I understand. That's wow. Fucked up. That's amazing. Well,
and then
that's
amazing.
I did have another question for you, though.
Okay.
What should I instruct or even suggest to the daughter? She's a girl. She's 8 years old. She calls me dad here and there, but it's... Like, I know that I'm not her biological father. Like, I want to be her father, but I'm never going to be. You know what I mean?
Right.
This is
but
pathetic.
But what would I instruct? Say if, you know,
let
I
her
go,
know. Let
you
know, her
we
know.
Do our own separate.
Let her know that you're not her father and that you apologize for getting involved with her mother and that for her not to be angry and to love her father, her real father,
You know, the guy who raped her mother.
Oh, man. This dude's...
He's actually essaying to fuck up some poor little child's life. And gets paid every couple of weeks to do it.
You know what? He doesn't like women.
Oh, no, he doesn't like women. And, you know, the next time somebody says, oh, yeah, but those Muslims and they're misogynistic. Blah, blah, blah. You play that clip for him. Punish an 8-year-old little girl by not letting her have anything even resembling a father figure in her life and tell her to go and see if her rapist daddy likes her.
Oh, yes, yes. And you know, really the reason I listened to that podcast from yesterday, and part of it that got me wanting to call in was when you were talking about how the way the women are portrayed.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, the degree to which the white wing evangelicals and enablers and, oh, probably get in trouble for this, a step and fetch it like Jesse Lee Peterson, manifest their disgust for people who were just born female. You know, there's no bottom to that cesspit.
It's disturbing because that opens the door for all types of negative behavior, you know, abuse and everything. It's not even about, it shouldn't be about religion, but that it's like a cult type of thing. Anyway, I know.
But it's right, but man. It's real and it's out there. Hang in there, Todd. Get to feeling better, brother.
Thank you.
All right, later. That's our buddy Todd calling from South Carolina, Stan. Uh-oh, the propane bottle's about to kick. You'll have that. Hey, thank you. Thank you to Brian. Thanks, Brian, here as we enter the third hour of the program. Brian has met Charlene's challenge, which goes into Chris's challenge, and that means that... we got $15 to finish Chris's challenge, and that'll knock everything down for the rest of the evening, or not for the rest of the evening. That'll knock out the challenge, and continue us on toward getting out of this hole. So thank you very kindly, Brian. $15 to go. Okay, James. James, the union iron worker, says, Acorn, send me pictures. I'll do it. And maybe we can, I don't know, fashion some sort of a fix. That would be awesome. Because, you know, me without my smoker is kind of like, well, Arthur without Excalibur or Pooh without Piglet or... Let's leave that alone. James pointing out, Jesse Lee and the rapist's two victims... Mama needs some time alone with Jesse Lee, kamikaze style, right upside the fucking head. And Stephen New York says, perhaps I'm mistaken, but wasn't Joseph Jesus' stepdaddy? Well, yes, he was. And in fact, Jesus was a rape baby. I mean, sorry, there's nothing in there that says Mary consented to being raped by the Holy Ghost. It was all sort of one of those, it's better to ask forgiveness than permission. And hell, there wasn't even any forgiveness asked. How about that? Thorn in the Side Thursday is a real thing, isn't it? What's that? Steve sent me a propane heater link and said, these kick ass, Bob. I happen to have one. That's the very thing. Thanks, Steve. Thanks. There's Darn Tootin' in the chat room. So, Welcome aboard. Lines are open if you want to jump in. That's fine by me. What else do we have? Let's check in with, since it's Thorn in the Side Thursday, how about a white supremacy check-in? Because we start, all right, got that set up. Let's go over and see what's up with Fox's biggest white supremacist. Hey, Chris's challenge is met. Thank you very kindly. Don't know whether to make you anonymous or not. Let me know if I can tell everybody who finished off Chris's challenge. Thank you. Thank you very much indeed. No, Tucker Carlson has gone full on white supremacist lately, and has been for months, if not years. But people are finally beginning to pay attention. Remember when he said that immigration makes America a dirtier country? Well, it's not going to be long before Tucker just appears on screen wearing his robes and his pillowcase over his head. One gets the idea.
In the business world, virtually every major company seems to have lurched left since Trump's election. Our corporate leaders are now openly determined to award this country spoils on the basis of skin color rather than merit. They say that out loud. This is unfair, and it's deeply divisive. It makes Americans hate each other. It's also, as a factual matter, illegal. Corporations are not allowed to practice racial discrimination. Neither are universities. There's an entire division of the Justice Department that exists to enforce our laws against racism. Have they noticed what's happening? Of course they have. They just don't care. Maybe they should find other jobs. There are still lawyers in this country who care about civil rights, and the administration should hire them and set them to work.
What, Edith, huh?
Awarding this country's spoils on the basis of skin color rather than merit. Can we take a quick peep at that? Or just a brief analysis? Because the use of the word spoils is telling. Spoils are generally something one associates with war. So I guess Tucker Carlson, white supremacist, thinks that there's a war, that there's an economic war going on out there, and that diversity is somehow an attack on white people, as opposed to simply acknowledging that we are all better off when we have a broad variety of opinion and expertise. I mean, you really can't oppose diversity policies without being a white supremacist. Because if you oppose diversity, then you're saying that the only opinions worth having are white, and usually male, opinions. And that just, that runs contrary to, the entirety of human existence and experience. But that's okay, because, Fox is going to keep on paying Tucker Carlson. Just like the House is going to keep on letting Steve King participate in its deliberations. The New York Times wanted to interview Steve King, Steve Cantaloupe's King from Iowa, and he sat down with them, and he couldn't have made it any plainer. One of these days, Steve King will walk into the well of the House wearing his Kleagle robes and his pillowcase over his head. In the New York Times story, the following transpires. White nationalist, white supremacist, Western civilization. How did that language become offensive? Why did I sit in classes teaching me about the merits of our history and our civilization? No shit. He actually asked, when did white supremacist become offensive? Ooh, I don't know, Steve-O. How about when the white supremacists started murdering people at will, extrajudicially, for the grave and abiding sin of not being white, or of looking a white person in the eyes, or of not stepping off into the mud off the sidewalk when white folks were coming in the other direction, or for just looking at a white woman in general? Steve King actually asked when white supremacy it became offensive. Why did I sit in classes teaching me about the merits of our history and our civilization? Well, if you went to a class that was teaching you that it was meritorious for the Klan to night ride throughout the South and throughout much of the country, tormenting people because of their ethnicity, their skin color, their belief systems, then where did you go to fucking school, Steve? Klan U? Go Dragons! And apparently, there are Republicans lining up to primary his ass in 2020. Mm-hmm. Jesus. And then he said this. As the Times reports it, last week, as the new Congress was sworn in, Mr. King... I think the proper term of a reference for the New York Times style book would be Kleagle King or Cyclops King or Grand Wizard King. Noble Lumpkin King sat on his side of a chamber sharply delineated by demographics. The Democratic majority included record numbers of African Americans and women, including the first Native American and the first Muslim women. Mr. King's side was mostly people who looked like... You could look over there and think the Democratic Party is no country for white men, he said. Jesus, how pathetically insecure he is. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Then there was the whole business with Faith Goldie up in Toronto, where he said, white nationalist is a derogatory term today. I wouldn't have thought so maybe a year or two or three ago, but they use it in a derogatory term and it implies that you're a racist. And then he responded to the New York Times article. Hey, get the hockey puck. I hope you didn't put it too far away. Today, the New York Times is suggesting that I am an advocate for white nationalism and white supremacy. I want to make one thing abundantly clear. I reject those labels and the evil ideology that they define. So now it's evil. He wasn't so sure earlier. Further, I condemn anyone that supports this evil and bigoted ideology, which saw in its ultimate expression the systematic murder of 6 million innocent Jewish lives. Kind of missed that whole Ku Klux Klan Knight Rider thing, didn't he? It's true that, like the Founding Fathers, I am an advocate for Western civilization's values, and that I profoundly believe that America is the greatest tangible expression of these ideals the world has ever seen. Under any fair political definition, I am simply a nationalist. America's values are expressed in our founding documents. They are attainable by everyone, and we take pride that people of all races, religions, and creeds from around the globe aspire to achieve them. I'm dedicated to keeping America this way. This conviction does not make me a white nationalist or a white supremacist. Once again, I reject those labels and the ideology they define. As I told the New York Times, it's not about race. It's never been about race.
One of my most strongly held beliefs is that we are all created in God's image and that human life is sacred in all its forms, especially the white kind. Wait, I added that part. So first he says, how did white supremacists become offensive? And then he says he's offended by white supremacists. And for the most part, it's been crickets from the Republicans in the House, with one exception, to which I do not give much credence. But we do have to give credit. Liz Cheney, daughter of Count Dicula, did not respond well to the New York Times interview. Liz Cheney described his remarks as abhorrent and racist. She's a mucky-muck inside the Republican minority membership of the House. She went to Twitter and said, these comments are abhorrent and racist and should have no place in our national discourse. Steve King asks how terms white nationalist and white supremacist became offensive. You know what she didn't say, though? She didn't say, I will move immediately to remove him from the House of Representatives. That kind of matters. Okay, it matters a whole lot. All right, let's tally up where we are. Taking what Charlene of the sorority of Leans and Tracy's Reverse Oreo Cookie Society and her challenge. And thank you very kindly to James and to our anonymous friend and to Brian and to others who have jumped in. Let's see. That's one, two, three. We got $265 to go to finish fundraising for the evening. $255 to go. And that's huge, and that's important. So thank you, everyone. Thank you, everyone, very much indeed. Let's run over to the phones and see what's going on. Hey, welcome to the program.
Well, Bob, I'd like to say hello from the blind.
How's things in the blind there, Dave?
A little weird. I was listening to that little clip, and being a social studies major when I was in college, I'd like Miss Representative King and Tucker Carlson to attend my class on how not to be an idiot.
Is there one of the, you taught a class in that?
No, I'm getting all the Republicans I can together to maybe sit them down, you know, with a whip and a chair and see if I can't explain to these knuckle draggers that they can no longer call themselves the party of Lincoln. Lincoln would probably be voting as a Democrat now.
Given the overall tectonic shift in American politics, yeah, especially since the Civil Rights Act and the Voting Rights Act, that's when LBJ said we've lost the South for a generation. I mean,
LBJ's off by a generation or two.
Steve King, yeah, no kidding. Steve King's such a goddamn Lulu, though, Dave, that here's a guy from Iowa who had a Confederate battle flag on his desk.
And there were a lot of Iowa regiments in the Union Army.
You're damned right there are.
That's an insult. Damned insult.
The one Confederate battlefield I've been to more than any other was Shiloh in southwest Tennessee, because it was not far from where I grew up.
Yeah, yeah.
And there are monuments to Iowa and to the Iowans who marched there to stop the treasonous slaveholder army in its tracks, because they did.
I mean, they Now, like I've said before on this program, when I was in college, I did a historical marker project. There was a grand dragon of the Ku Klux Klan named D.C. Stevenson here in Indiana who was the Speaker of the General Assembly in the 1920s. He got drunk and murdered a woman, and I had to do research, and in the Indiana Historical Society, they had things like the grand jury transcript and his charging documents. Hell, Bob, they even had his Klan ID. And these people would say, well, we're real Americans, and they're doing all the same things that the Republicans are doing now. There's no difference in their language. There's no difference in their attitudes from the 19-goddamn-20s.
Or, for that matter, in many instances, from the 18-goddamn-20s.
Well, yeah. I mean, Jesus Christ. We fought a war and hundreds of thousands of people died over the issue of whether you could keep human beings as property. And I don't care how you cut it. Oh, it's states' rights. It's this, that, or the other. That's what it came down to, because I asked one of my neo-Confederate acquaintances, well, why didn't the South just invoke Article 5, convene their conventions, and go out through constitutional means? His answer, well, they didn't have the votes. Well, then, goddammit, then they need to learn that maybe they're a little
democracy
ahead.
Democracy? Yeah. I mean, well, just saying.
Well, the Constitution was never about democracy. It was about how you govern.
Well, that's true enough. I mean, the framers did say, whatever it is we come up with, we're going to call it democracy.
Yeah. I mean, we live in a, I keep correcting people. Oh, we're living in a democracy. No, we're in a republic.
With limited democratic principles.
Yeah, we have the same veneer that the Romans had. Your average Roman had a vote, but
they just kept it nicely diluted.
Yeah. And the Republicans have learned that that's the way they want to go. This is not the Republican Party of even the early 1970s. Because there were still Republicans in the House and the Senate who could look over at their Democratic colleagues and say, okay, where can we find agreement? What can we do to help the country? Now it's, well, I want a wall and I want this and I'm going to cost billions of dollars every other week because the federal employees that are working aren't getting their paychecks. I mean, Jesus Christ, Bob, if...
Well, one woman who, and this is kind of sort of close-ish to you, a TSA agent who works at O'Hare was interviewed, and she had in hand her eviction notice. She has to keep working for the TSA for free for Donald Trump, but her landlord has served an eviction notice on her.
You know what my ex-wife said, the beloved Christine? She said those people ought to move onto the grounds of the White House.
Yeah.
And make a Trumpville.
And that's the thing. A protest where people show up and don't go away scares the fuck out of white-wing power structures. Think back. All you have to do is think back to Occupy, to the Occupy movement.
Occupy Wall Street.
Scared the shit out of the money.
Well, I heard something. I was listening to Progressive Voices Radio, and they said that the Trump administration is wanting organizations that want to protest in D.C. to pay $100,000 each for the ability to exercise their First Amendment rights under the Constitution.
Yeah.
And on the grounds that they're protecting historical sites.
Right, and all they're actually doing is suppressing free speech under the charade of economics. You know, me, if they want to go down there and build that dumbass wall, I suggest that people go down there and start protesting. And like I said, check in with the folks at Standing Rock on the how-to.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I heard a report this evening that, among others, there's a historic Catholic church, a mission, that's down there, and they want to build right through the church's property, and they're citing First Amendment rights, the freedom of religion, and the rest of it. This is going to be in court for years, decades. Meanwhile, Donnie's going to be looking up at the roots by the time it's all sorted out, because those cheeseburgers and those Diet Cokes aren't doing him any good.
Oh, he looked a mess the other night.
I listened to that tirade from the Oval Office the other night, and I saw a little bit of video. You know what he reminded me of, Bob?
What?
You know those kids in elementary school who are always pouting about something, and they pout long enough, the teacher finally looks over at him and says, "Okay, Donnie, what are you having a problem with?" You know, and then he goes on his little tirade, and then the teacher has to take time out to deal with him. Well, that sounds a lot like what Donnie sounded like the other night. I'm going to pout. I'm going to throw a temper tantrum. And they ought to just, you know, let him kick on the floor and just yell, holler, and scream. And the day after Trump announced that he was inviting Mike Pence onto his as his running mate, I called then Governor Pence's office, and I asked one of his assistants, "So could you tell me what the governor's position is on a politician who's been divorced 3 times? I mean, he's supposed to be a family values man."
Oh, a preacher from his church could not marry a guy who had been married before.
Well,
Southern Baptist.
I'll just have to not go to his church then, because I'm divorced.
Well, but I'm thinking more about Trump. But Trump doesn't go to church anyway.
Yeah, well, you know, the whole Corinthians 2 thing.
2 Corinthians walk into a bar. Yeah, I know. Jesus. Sometimes I really do want. I just sort of stare about in wide-eyed wonder at the fact that we're here,
or even that we're still here,
or that this is the place where we are.
Bob, we didn't get there overnight, and it's going to take us time to get out of it.
And we are where we are because there are people who are happy that we are where we are. This country is being run. This country is being run by 32% of the population who are baffled at how a wheelbarrow works. Okay, who walk around looking up at the rain and come near drowning.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it amazes me that they're thinking that this is better than they've ever had it before. And it's not. Though that TSA worker, or my brother-in-law, who's a mail carrier, or God knows how many other people, are going to be hurt permanently. And a good number of them are his voters. And yet they still, "Oh, well, he's making America great." Well, how is a TSA worker who should be able to pay her mortgage or pay her landlord And, you know, there are some people out there. Well, if they all lose their houses, we can get them on the cheap.
I'm sure there are some Wall Street scumbags who are thinking like that right now.
Oh, that's a bet. That's a bet no book you'll take.
No, I mean, because really. how do you make odds on that?
Crop.
Yeah, how do you make odds on
yeah,
that?
It's, I mean, what, you get an over-under on how long the shutdown lasts? These guys have wanted to shut down the government permanently while being able to tell us what to do.
I'm just looking for somebody who will give me the over-under on how long before he tears his clothes off and starts playing with himself in public.
I give it 3 months from now.
I halfway expected it Tuesday night.
You can mark it down. I'm saying 3 months. Because you know, Dr. Ronnie's got to be doping him up to the gills.
Is the Candyman still there?
No, I don't think he is. I think he retired after they tried to make him Surgeon General. But somebody in there is giving him his Adderall.
He's snorting it. That's the thing. Okay, so somebody's giving him Adderall. But it just seems so damned obvious.
Well, here's the thing, Bob. The president is surrounded by doctors, and all of them are military officers. I mean, they're all Navy and Army doctors. Those are the people that treat the president. Now, he can bring in a private one, but in general, it's a military doctor for security reasons. I mean, presidents, that's the way they get treated. That's why they go to Walter Reed or Bethesda for medical tests, because those are hospitals that can be secured, and nobody's going to bat an eyelash. They see a man in uniform toting an M16 outside of a door.
Well, as to those 32%, Dave, Jack in Shreveport says, Wall, the Republicans are getting what they want with the shutdown, more movement toward the destruction of the middle class and anyone who's not in their oligarch and oligarch minion class. They always seem to benefit from their fuck-ups. Bannon's goal was always chaos and the destruction of government, so this wall is a great excuse for doing whatever they really want anyway.
We need to take the Senate, we need to take the White House in 20, and we need to keep the goddamn House. And then we need to start cleaning out all this crap.
I mean, it astonishes me that Liz Cheney will say that Steve King is reprehensible or something like that. But they can actually start proceedings. If you don't,
they should expel him.
They should expel him from the House. Exactly. I mean,
they have the authority as members of Congress.
Are we so fetishized now? Are we at such a stylized point in history where it's all form over substance, that it's okay to have a goddamn white supremacist in the House of Representatives? I mean, granted, at one point in time, practically everybody in the House was a white supremacist, and the Senate, too, and the White House, and the Supreme Court.
That goes all the way back to the founding.
But this is, also goes back to 1900. But this is, this is not then. We are supposedly, at least most of us, more enlightened than that. And if somebody's out there hooting proto-Nazi white supremacist ideology, goodbye.
We need to stop calling it white nationalists. We need to start calling it what it is, white racist.
Yeah. Because I mean, even the Sioux City paper in Iowa withheld its endorsement from him and has excoriated Steve King as
drawing opprobrium to the district he represents. And that's true, because that part of Iowa, I'm like, who the fuck lives there? I mean, and even with what he knew, the last, you know, he won his last election. It was a narrow margin. But again, there are people who knew he was a white supremacist and went and voted for him anyway. What the hell do you say about that, except that must be a white supremacist district?
Well, I think Iowa is an old Indian word for the dumbasses live here. You know,
Jesus.
Because this, but this has become, you know, you said that when I talked about my dad was still referring to himself as a Republican, you said it sounds like he's just identifying as a Republican because he always has. And I think that's where you're running into a lot of problems, because these people will vote for Republicans no matter who it is, no matter what they say. If somebody on the Democratic side had said that, they'd be tearing him limb from limb. And I would probably be at the front of the crowd going, cut him up, you know. But I don't know why the Democrats play this game of, well, we've got to be better than them. Well, no, we're not better than them. We just need to stop them from doing what they want to do, because it's bad for everybody. Nobody wins. I mean, when I was a kid, when you were a kid, we had civics classes. We had
took it in summer school.
What the different branches of government did. Now I ask some of these kids, you know, some of these high school kids, well, what does the Congress do? What's the difference between the state, the General Assembly in Indiana, and the Congress of the United States? And they don't know. They don't know.
Yep.
And that's sad, Bob.
Well, it is. And it's that lack of knowledge and that lack of engagement that lets 32% of this country, who are mouthwalkers and knuckle breathers, have control of the polity. And it's past sad, it's fucking terrifying.
You know what I think we need?
What's that?
One thing we need is a constitutional amendment granting universal suffrage to United States citizens, regardless of whether they've been convicted of a crime, or they're black and living in the wrong neighborhood, or they can't count the number of red jelly beans in a jar. If you're 18 years old and you're a citizen of the United States, you should be automatically registered to vote where you live and be able to vote. In Vermont, if you're incarcerated, you still have your right to vote. And I think that's a good thing, because eventually most of those people are going to get out and be in society. And if you expect them to obey the laws, then by God, they have a right to have a voice in who makes those laws.
That's the way, yeah.
But then you'll hear the right wing go, well, you just want illegals to vote. No. You weren't listening to what I said, dumbass. It would stop all this gerrymandering bullshit.
It'd
stop it in its tracks.
But the thing is, we keep getting our asses kicked by the law of unintended consequences.
Yeah.
And I honestly cannot believe that these freaks don't understand that everything that they're saying they want to give Trump the power to do, a Democrat will someday have the power to do. And it will burn them to the damn ground.
They want to make it a one-party system. They want to make it a one-party system like you've got in effectively in Russia.
It works for Russia, right?
Hey, if it's good for Vladdy.
It's good for Vlad. It's good for the world. Yeah. Dave, have yourself a good night, my friend.
All right. Hey, did anybody meet my challenge?
We still do not have the new subscriber.
Well, I will extend it to the end of the broadcast tomorrow on either Patreon or PayPal. If somebody donates on a monthly basis, I will put in $10 on top of your donation.
To get them started.
To get them started. And I don't care where in the world they are. They could be in Australia. They could be in Scotland. They could be in my neighborhood here in Indianapolis. I don't care. But if I hear, Dave, we got one, then that $10 will be speeding its way to you that night. So have a good night, Bob.
That's awesome. Thank you so much, Dave. You have yourself a good night, my friend. Take care.
All right, you too, brother.
Bye now. Bye. Dave from Taliban, Indiana. And the challenge continues through close of broadcast Friday in the search for a brand new subscriber at $10 a month. Thank you, Dave. Thank you so very, very much indeed. And hey, let's see, where are we now? Thank you to Frank. We are now down to 235 to go to finish the to catch up with. So we've got $35 to get to the point where Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday are taken care of, and then there's today and tomorrow. So we are 235 now, 435 to end the week. And I wanted it, Kenda, out in Missouri, just sent me a damned interesting link about a TV show called Trackdown. It aired between 1957 and 1959 on CBS. Robert Culp played Texas Ranger Hobie Gilman. And there was an episode, I mean, this is Twilight. It wasn't a Twilight Zone kind of show, but this is Twilight Zone kind of weird. The 30th episode of the first season was called The End of the World. And the episode features a con artist named Trump. I've got a clip here. Let's see how this goes.
Your name is Trump? All right, Sheriff. How long are you going to put up with this?
What do you mean?
How long are you going to let this con man walk around town?
Be careful, son. I can sue you.
How about it, Sheriff? When are you going to put the lid on?
What for?
Well, stealing is stealing, whether you do it with a gun or a mouthful of mealy words.
I don't intend to sit here and be insulted, Sheriff. If your people don't want my help, I can go elsewhere.
Wait a minute, Mr. Trump. You don't talk for the rest of us.
Since the sheriff wouldn't stop Trump, Hobie had to find somebody who would. Sheriff Chet Farrow was the gun law and helper, and Judge Clement was the book law.
Are you here about Trump?
Yes, sir. What are you going to do about him?
What do you want me to do?
Stop him.
From what?
From taking the town.
Can you prove that that's what he has in mind?
Well, it's obvious.
But can you prove it? In order to arrest him, the sheriff has to have a charge.
And Trump hasn't given him a thing to go on. Well, there's got to be some way to stop him.
Well, if there is, I don't know it. It's a funny thing.
Sir?
When we were kids, we were all afraid of the dark. And we grew up, and we weren't afraid anymore. But it's funny how a big lie can make us all kids again.
Hobie had checked the town. The people were ready to believe. Like sheep, they ran toward the slaughterhouse. And waiting for them was the high priest of fraud.
I am the only one. Trust me. I can build a wall around your homes that nothing will penetrate.
What do we do? How do we save ourselves?
You ask, how do you build that wall? You ask, and I'm here to tell you.
You're a liar, Trump.
Funny thing is, there's a vague resemblance between the Trump in this and Fred Trump. And, of course, this back in 1957, 1958, Fred Trump was at the height of his powers. It was only 31 years since he had been arrested at a Klan riot in Queens. Fred Trump had a head of hair, but he also had a mustache, if I recall correctly. And you wonder if maybe the writers, maybe they were New Yorkers and knew what a scumbag Fred Trump was. But they couldn't possibly have known they'd be prophesying a future that was still 61 years away on the fly ciphering. Don't hold me to it.
There's not going to be any rain of fire. Can you deny the meteorites will come? Can you deny the comet?
Well, it's not going to happen the way you say it is.
Aren't you going to stay for the fireworks? Huh? Looks like you're going to go before everything's done.
I've done all I can for Talpa.
Figure it's time for me to be moving on.
Well, I think you ought to wait.
That's where you and I disagree.
You're under arrest, Trump.
And that's the way ours should end as well. You're under arrest, Trump. Darlene in Connecticut. Are you kidding me? The parallels are uncanny. Thanks to Kenda for sending that along. That's absolutely mind-blowing. The difference being, of course, that he was going to build a wall around the town that would keep the town safe from meteors and comets. But meteor begins with M-E, and Mexican begins with M-E, and that's, wow. Kenda says, I pulled it up on the YouTube app on the TV this evening. We watch a lot of old black and white movies and TV dramas. That's probably worth finding. Again, the name of the show is Trackdown. It's episode 30, The End of the World. Don't say the past didn't try to warn the future. Just, you know, saying. Jack in Shreveport says, maybe the show was about Trump's daddy? Well, I, you know, Fred Trump was known for the con artist that he was. And probably more people knew then that he had married an illegal immigrant to the United States, a woman from a little tiny community on an island in Scotland where the gene pool was so shallow that you couldn't drown a piss ant in it. And maybe even knew that Fred Trump's daddy had been a draft-dodging coward and a pimp. Maybe that's what we do going forward. Make that the point of reference. Donald Trump, son of a Klansman and grandson of a pimp, and then go on from there. It works for me. Damn, that's just weird, though. That's like all those prophetic episodes of The Simpsons. Just wow. Oh, let's wrap things up with a creepy one. You know, Dr. Newton Leroy Gingrich, amateur paleontologist, he was not raised as a Roman Catholic. He had to get all Catholic when he cheated on his wife to have an affair with one of his staffers named Callista. Callista now, of course, is the United States ambassador to the Holy See and the See of St. Peter. In other words, the Vatican. So he had to be baptized. And it wasn't enough to just get all baptized so he could be a good Catholic and go on rutting away on Callista.
he had to be celebrity baptized. And there was an Opus Dei priest by the name of Father John McCloskey. And Father John McCloskey was a priest for the right-wing Republican well-off class. Well, it turns out that Father John McCloskey, who baptized Dr. Newton Leroy Gingrich, amateur paleontologist, was a perv. A woman sued the Catholic Church because Father McCloskey groped her several times while she attended counseling with him at the Catholic Information Center. Her marriage was in trouble. She was significantly depressed. She was in her early 40s. She was just submerged in guilt and shame. And she couldn't work in what is described as a high-profile job. But Father McCloskey absolved her during confession. She said, "I love Opus Dei, but I was caught up in this cover-up. I went to confession thinking I did something to tempt this holy man to cross boundaries." Well, Opus Dei paid her $977,000 to settle her lawsuit back in 2005, but they managed to keep the details secret until just recently. And as of Monday, Opus Dei, and these are some real weirdos, by the way, you know, barbed wire and hair shirts and all that shit. It was founded by a guy who has since been made a saint, who was a decided supporter of the fascist regime of Generalissimo Francisco Franco, who remains, surprisingly, still dead. Opus Dei Vicar Monsignor Thomas Boland said, "All harassment and abuse are abhorrent. I am painfully aware of all that the Church is suffering, and I am very sorry that we in Opus Dei have added to it. Let us ask God to show mercy on all of us in the Church at this difficult time." Funny, nothing in that statement has any mercy or sympathy whatsoever for the woman that Father McCloskey, and no, it turns out perhaps women, that Father McCloskey fucking groped. Oh, how sad we have given the Church a sad. The Church is suffering. And Father McCloskey's in his 60s, and the Church claims he's suffering from Alzheimer's and he's largely incapacitated. The Washington Post asked the Chicago Archdiocese, where he ran off to, if they had any knowledge. And the Chicago Archdiocese said no restrictions were put on Father McCloskey while he was priesting there, even though the woman he groped actually told them what he had done. And Opus Dei exercises so much power that when a priest gets a complaint filed, the crimes don't go on the public record. But, see, Opus Dei maintains its own files, and the diocese itself never sees it. But Father McCloskey is the guy who baptized Dr. Newton Leroy Gingrich, amateur paleontologist, you see. One wonders, when a priest is corrupt, do his priestly actions, are they equally corrupted? Or maybe because he was a perv in the first place, he looked at Newton Leroy Gingrich and said, hell, yeah, sure, I'll get you all Catholic'd up. I mean, after all, a man like you and a woman like her, I mean, we wouldn't want to keep you apart. Even though you've been divorced and everything there, Newt. And even though you had your illicit, fornicatory, adulterous affair with your now wife, back when you were shrieking that the flag was falling because Bill Clinton got a blowjob. Oh, well. I-O-K-I-Y-A-R, I guess. Last note coming in from Lady B. Before, because I was a little late getting to the microphone, so we'll take a minute or so over. A little off today's topic, Bob, but I was reading on the internet the other day about a Maggie Haberman tweet that expressed alarm that the Russians may have had some inside information to have known that Wisconsin and Michigan would turn for Trump. Statistician Nate Silver tweeted back that the Russians didn't need inside info because all the polling stats were screaming that Trump was trending in those states like a motherfucker, and if the elites in the media had been paying more attention, they wouldn't have missed it. I thought about how utterly sad and disgusting it is that the Russians were better able to read the numbers than we were. They knew more about rural and conservative white Americans than we as a country would even believe, much less acknowledge. The world sees right through us, Bob. We sit here and think we're so authentic and infallible, like we somehow invented virtue and exceptionalism, yet here we are, five ways to just about fucked, because we thought that the majority of people would vote for what was in the best interest of the country and not their selfish religious and social beliefs, and I will add, hatreds and bigotries. It fucking sucks to truly consider just how close we've come to the fate of our democracy being held in the hands of a bunch of sociopaths, not to mention those who can't even be asked enough to see beyond the blinkered arcade of celebrity. Trump should no more have gotten their vote than a puppy should get a Corvette for Christmas. That's good, Lady B. Those folks have got to be nihilists, Bob. How the fuck could you not give a shit about who and how qualified a person is to run the most powerful country in the world? Thanks for all you do, Bob. Thank you for that wonderful note, Lady B. And I don't think it's that they didn't give a shit. They were excited at the prospect of watching something burn, and the country and the something they were looking to watch burn is the whole country. And they really don't care about the government shutdown because it's not really touching them yet. They're not feeling any pain, and they're going to get them some small government and get the government off their backs. But, yeah, they just wanted to watch it burn. And that is kind of nihilistic, isn't it? Thank you, Lady B. It really was a good note. Five ways to just about fucked. Ain't that the damn truth? Jack with a note, Opus Dei, at least before the time Pillowboy croaked, three or four of the Scotuses were Opus Dei. You know who of them is currently? Well, the Clarence Pubes on the Coke Can Slappy Thomas is, I'm pretty sure. Sammy Bad Breath Alito. Brat Kavanaugh, he went to a Jesuit school, but that doesn't foreclose him being Opus Dei. It seems like the kind of thing he'd be into. John Roberts? Maybe? Maybe? Yeah. That. All right, we took a big bite out. Thank you to Chris, and thank you to Charlene, and thanks to everybody who responded to them. Things will not be near as dire tomorrow, and I can at least knock down one of these bills. So thank you very kindly indeed. Thanks to our all volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you very kindly to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiterosesociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all.